Okay, we're going to start from the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Gemara continues from the Mishnah we ended off yesterday with. Bishlama b'Yisrael kol mefarshei tamayu v'taima de Beishamai. The Mishnah yesterday. Yeah, sure. I'll just. Okay, fine. So the Mishnah says Beishamai omrim be'erev kol adam yata v'yikra uva'boker yamut shenemar v'shach v'chov kumecha. Right, Beishamai read the pasuk of v'shach v'chov kumecha literally, meaning he understood that in the morning you have to say Shema while standing, whereas at night you say Shema while either lying down or on your side. V'Yisrael omrim no kol adam kori kedarko shenemar v'lechtecha v'derech. Whereas B'Yisrael understood that uvalachtecha v'derech means you could say Shema in whatever position you want. So imkein lama nemar v'shach b'cha v'kumecha. So how does Beis Hillel justify the fact that it says v'shach b'cha v'kumecha? So he says, no, that means v'shach b'nei adam shochvim v'shach b'nei adam omnim. All it means is, in other words, that pasuk is referring to a time of day as opposed to a position in which you're reciting Shema. Amar Rabbi Tarfon, ani ha'yisi baba derech, bihitesi likros kedivrei b'shamai, v'sakandi ba'atzim yivnei ha'listim. So one time Rabbi Tarfon went out of his way at night to read Shema in accordance with b'shamai by lying down on his side. And the Mishnah says that he actually endangered his life because there were these armed bandits, these armed robbers who were attacking. Amrulo, kidai ha'yisalacho ba'atzmecha she'avarta al divrei Beis Hillel. And the Chacham said to Rabbi Tarfon, you deserve to die as a result of violating the words of Beis Hillel. So the Gemara now continues. Bishlama Beis Hillel kama farshe tamayu v'tayma de Beis Shammai, ela Beis Shammai ma'tayma lo amri k'Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel not only explains his own logic, namely why he believes that the pasuk is only referring to a time of day as opposed to a position, but he also tries to justify the position of Beis Shammai. But Beis Shammai never explains why he doesn't agree with Beis Hillel. So the question the Gemara asks is, why doesn't Beis Shammai assume like Beis Hillel that the pasuk is referring to times of day as opposed to positions in which you're reciting Shema? So the Gemara says, Amri lecha Beis Shammai, im kein, meaning if the pasuk meant to say that I can recite Shema however I want, and the pasuk is simply referring to a time of day, neimakra baboker uva erev. My b'shach b'cha uvkumecha b'shas shchiva shchiva mamish uv'shas kima kima mamish. The fact that the pasuk writes b'shach b'cha uvkumecha as opposed to a more normal baboker uva erev, which would obviously imply morning and night. So the fact that we write this different lashon implies, according to Beis Shammai, that the pasuk is a reference to the position in which you're reciting Shema, which is going to be literal according to Beis Shammai, meaning by day you have to say it standing up.
Bunker is much wider.
That's exactly his point. The point right. is that if Beis Hillel was correct.
Said that.
Right, exactly. Had it said Baboker of Erev, then maybe Beis Hillel would have been right. The fact that it says B'shach B'chav Kumecha implies that we're talking about the physical position in which you're reciting Shema as opposed to a time of day. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I guess, I mean, in theory, the word B'shach B'chav Kumecha, I mean, it's not necessarily referring to standing up per se. I mean, the word. Yeah, the word, yeah.
A way to say in a standing.
Yeah, but the Torah equally uses the word kima as much as it uses the word amida. So that, I don't think that's necessarily a question about why the Torah preferred this word over that word. If the Torah was simply trying to tell us morning versus night, it would have said, but in other words, baboker and be'erev are much more commonly used to refer to morning and night. B'shach b'chav kumecha means when you lie down and when you get up. Okay.
Right.
So, okay.
You wake up.
Right. Okay. So now the Gemara asks, how does Beis Shammai understand uvalechtecha v'derech? Meaning, Beis Hillel looked at uvalechtecha v'derech and said that pasuk is a reference to day versus night, not positions in which you're reciting Shema. How does Beis Shammai interpret that pasuk? So the Gemara says, hahu mibayluhu l'chidasanya b'shiftecha b'veisecha prat la'osik b'mitzvah. Beis Shammai looked at that pasuk and said that there are two categories of people who are excluded from the mitzvah of reciting Shema. The first is a person who's involved in a different mitzvah. That's what we call osik b'mitzvah, pater mena mitzvah. That's a general pater. That's not only true by Shema. It's true by any mitzvah. So let's say a person is in the middle of doing mitzvah X. He's pater from engaging in mitzvah Y. And the second exemption that the pasuk specifies, which we'll see may specifically be for Shema, is a chasan. Now the Gemara is going to explain what type of chasan we're talking about in a second. The Gemara says, Mikan amru, hakonesa sabesula pater v'yasa amara chayev. If a person is getting married to a besula, to a woman who's a virgin who's never been married before, then technically he's pater from Shema. But if he's getting married to an amana, he's getting married to a woman who's been married before, so then he is still chayev to recite Shema. So the Gemara asks, my mashma, how do we see from this pasuk that a person who's osek b'mitzvah is pater from reciting Shema? So amar of papa, ki derech. We compare it to derech, because again, the pasuk says, v'lech techa v'derech. Ma derech rishus, av kol rishus. So Rav Papa assumes that when the pasuk says, Lachtech of Aderech, it's referring to a person who's on his way to do something that's a Dvar HaRishus, that's not necessarily a mitzvah. So the Gemara pushes back. The Gemara says, Milo askinan de ka'azil l'dvar mitzvah, ba'afilu hachi amar rachamana likrei. Right? In other words, the Gemara says there's no indication one way or the other in this pasuk whether the guy is on his way to do a mitzvah or whether he's on his way to do a Dvar HaRishus. So the Gemara says, you could have equally read the pasuk to say that the guy was on his way to a mitzvah, and yet he's still chayiv to recite Shema. But in Cain, if that's true, that even a person who's on his way to do a mitzvah is chayiv to recite Shema, lichtov rachamana b'sheves uvelaches. The pasuk could have written, instead of b'shiftecha b'veisach uvelachtecha v'aderech, it could have said b'sheves uvelaches, while standing and while walking. My b'shiftecha uvelachtecha, why does it add the extra chaf, when you're sitting and when you are walking? So the Gemara says, b'sheves didach uvelaches didachu d'mechayav ha'demitzvah p'tiras. The implication being that you're only chayiv to say Shema when you're on your way to do something personal, when you're walking somewhere or when you're going somewhere for your own reasons, for a Dvar HaRishus, implying that when I'm going somewhere for a mitzvah, that I'm putter. So in other words, the Gemara learns that from the fact that it says b'shiftecha and uvelechtecha, as opposed to just b'sheves uvelechas. So the Gemara says, okay, but if that's true, yihachi, afilu kones asa'am ananami. Why is only a person who marries a besula putter from reciting Shema? Why isn't a person who's marrying an almana also putter from Shema? So says the Gemara, no, haitarid v'haylotarid. The guy who's marrying a besula, his mind is preoccupied because maybe his wife is not really a virgin. Maybe she was mezana. Maybe she had an affair, or she slept around before. And almana, you know that she's not a besula by definition. So the person is not as preoccupied. So the Gemara says, imishim tirda, if our concern is the fact that the guy is preoccupied, then afilu tava sfinasu bayam nami. Then maybe we should argue, let's say a guy's boat is capsizing at sea, and he's about to lose all of his possessions that are on this boat. So maybe that guy should be putter from Shema also, because he's very preoccupied. V'chitei mahakanami, maybe you'll tell me, yes, it's true, maybe a guy whose boat is drowning, is capsizing, is in fact putter from Shema, but we know that's not true. Alama amar Rabbi Abba bar Zavda amar Rav, Avel chayiv b'chol ha-mitzvah su'amuros b'torah, chutz min ha-tfilin, shaharei nemar bohem pe'er, shenemar pe'er chachavu shalecha. So there is one exception. An avel is patur from tfilin. Now again, what the parameters of that patur are, we usually assume that an avel b'yom rishon on the first day. An onin is patur from all mitzvahs. So that's different. An avel, in other words,
you mean here, you talk about after the kvura?
Right? Even after the kvura on the first day, again, there's a big machlokas in the rishon and what the parameters of the patur are, whether it applies.
Why is it because you're angry?
No. It's nothing to do with anger. Because the pasuk in Yechezkel, when it describes tefillin, it calls for tefillin as a pe'er. And again, there's a slight machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos. Pe'er means like something that glorifies you, right? So therefore, it's not. So the simplest explanation is that it's not appropriate to put what's called pe'er tachas ether when you're rolling in ashes after a funeral. So it's not appropriate to put something glorifying on you. But with the exception of tefillin, an avel is chayv in every other mitzvah, right? Tefillin is the one exception. But apart from that, he's chayv in everything. An avel is the definition of someone who's preoccupied with the loss that he just experienced, and yet he's chayav to say Shema, he's chayav to do everything else. So if the reason why you're putter is because you're preoccupied, that doesn't make any sense, because then why is an avel chayav in every mitzvah aside from tefillin? So the Gemara says no. Hasam tarit tirda de mitzvah, hacha tarit tirda de rishus. In the case of a guy who's getting married, the fact that he's preoccupied with the mitzvah of bia that he's about to engage in. The guy whose boat is drowning, so he's preoccupied, but there's no mitzvah to be preoccupied when your boat is capsizing at sea. So now the Gemara circles back to a point that we mentioned before. Uvei Shammai, how does Uvei Shammai understand uvelachtecha v'aderech? The Gemara says, ahumi boiluhu prat l'shluchei mitzvah. According to Uvei Shammai, the pasuk of uvelachtecha v'aderech, like we mentioned before, is excluding a person who is being sent to perform a mitzvah, where we said ha'osik b'mitzvah patur mena mitzvah. He's not chayav to recite Shema. Uvei Shammai, so what does Beis Hillel do with this halacha? From where does he learn this halacha from? So memelo shmamina dafilu v'aderech nami kare. Beis Hillel says you don't need an additional pasuk to teach you that a person who's a shluchei mitzvah, who's sent to do a mitzvah, is patur from Shema, because we know that already. The pasuk, as we mentioned before, says uvelechtecha v'aderech, the implication being that anyone who's traveling on the road for any purpose is going to be chayav. But if I'm being sent to do a mitzvah, like we said before, then you're going to be patur. So just one kind of side point on this Gemara, there is a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos here regarding the patur of an avel for tefillin. The question is, why exactly is an avel patur from tefillin on the first day? And again, there's a slight machlokas about whether the first day means the day of the kvura. What if the kvura was delayed for a few days? That's a separate issue. But basically, the question is, why is he putter? So Rashi says the simple explanation, which we alluded to before, is that this issue called pe'er tachas efer. When the ovel has ashes, you can't put the glory of tefillin on the ovel. So Tosfos takes issue with this. He says, because we know from the Gemara Moed Katan and a pasuk from Sefer Yecheskel that a lot of the halachos of avels are learned from Sefer Yecheskel, where after Yecheskel's wife died, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, do this, or don't do this, and the Gemara Moed Katan says, well, the fact that Hashem told Yecheskel to do this, the implication is that for a regular avel, he's not allowed to do this. And again, sometimes the Gemara says the opposite. Sometimes the Gemara says, oh, the fact that Hashem said this to Yecheskel is a paradigm for all Avelim, but most of the time, what Hashem told Yecheskel to do is the exception to the rule. So one of the things Hashem tells Yecheskel to do is pe'ercha chavash alecha, which basically means wear your tefillin. So Tosfos asks, why does Rashi need this other idea of pe'er takas efer? Just say the fact that Hashem told Yecheskel to wear tefillin implies that regular Avelim are not supposed to wear tefillin.
Why is that you're doing the opposite?
So the Gemara assumes that Yecheskel was the exception. If you look in the third part of the Moed Katan, the Gemara discusses this in detail.
It's not halacha l'maaseh.
What's not halacha l'maaseh?
You don't put tefillin in the
tefillin. It's machlokas in the Rishonim. It's also machlokas at Sfarim and Ashkenazim about how this plays out practically. But usually the assumption is that an avel on the first day, even after the kavura, depending on how you define the first day, the assumption is that an avel is still pater from wearing tefillin. Again, that assumes that the kavura happened on that same day.
What's the special tilde of a chatam?
Well, you're an ones if the few
of what?
Later in the
special tilde of what? The Gemara's maskana seems to be that you need two factors in order to be pater from Shema. In other words, you have to be preoccupied, but the preoccupation has to be something of a mitzvah. Right, those two factors together will exempt you from Shema. So just getting back to this one point of Tosfos. Tosfos says that the reason why Rashi's drasha was necessary, we couldn't rely on the Gemara in Moed Katan about Yecheskel, is either because one could have potentially extrapolated that an avel is pater from other mitzvos aside from tefillin, which is not true, or the other possibility he says, which is relevant to what we were speaking about before, is that one might have argued that you might have thought that an avel even after the first day is pater from tefillin. So therefore, you need Rashi's drasha to teach you that the first day is the most intense form of Avelus, and that's why he's only putter on the first day. Okay, so now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Beis Hillel Omrim, Omdin Vekorin, Yoshvin Vekorin, Umatin Vekorin, Holchin Baderech Vekorin, Osin Bimalachtin Vekorin. Basically, Beis Hillel says, you can say Shema in whatever position or way you want. You can say it sitting, standing, walking, working, it doesn't matter.
So one second.
So in other words, this is all, you know, Beis Hillel says, I can say Shema in whatever position, and, you know, while I'm doing whatever I want. Umaisa Barabi Yishma, Barabi Elazar Ben Azariah, Shahi Mesubin Bimakom. They were, you know, eating somewhere. V'haya Rabbi Yishmael Muta, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Zakov. So Rabbi Yishmael was lying on his side, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was standing up. Kevan shehigiyaz man kriya Shema, once the time for Shema arrived, Hita Rabbi Elazar v'zakaf Rabbi Yishmael. They basically flipped positions. In other words, one of them stood up, and the other one went to lie down. So Amar lo Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah lo Rabbi Yishmael, Yishmael achi, em shalucha mashal l'mahadurdom. I'm going to illustrate to you what just happened. Mashal echad she'omrim lo zekancha megudal. Imagine someone says to another person, you have a nice beard, right? Your beard suits you. Amar lahem, and he says to them, yekenegad hamashchisim. You know, I hope that my beard gets shaved off. Meaning, like, you just give him a compliment, and now he wants to get rid of the beard. So he says here too, af kachata kolzman shani zakuf atamuta. So, you know, as long as I was standing, you were lying on your side. Actually, kishani hitisi. Now that I'm going to lie on my side, at zakafta. Now you're standing up. So Amar lo. So he said back to him, no, ani asisi kedivri b'silel, v'ato asisi kedivri b'shama. He says, no, there's a reason why I'm doing this, because you because I'm following b'silel and you're following b'shama. Because again, b'shama holds that at night you have to say shema while on your side. V'lo od, says the Gemara. Not only that, ela shema yiru atalmidim v'yikvu alach ledorus. He was afraid that the students would be watching what was going on and they would mistakenly think that we paskin like b'shama. So the Gemara asks, my velo, why do we need this additional point that the students are going to see what happens? Don't we know that we don't, in other words, we know that we don't pass like Beis Hillel. Exactly. So the Gemara says, v'chitema, maybe you'll tell me, Beis Hillel nami islehu matin, maybe you'll argue that Beis Hillel also agrees that you're yotze shema if you say it while lying on your side. Meaning he doesn't discount Beis Hillel. He says, if I say it the way Beis Hillel says, I'm also yotze. The Gemara says, no, but hani mile de mate ve'ase me'ikar. That's assuming that you were lying on your side the entire time. Avalhacha Kivan da arhashta havi zakuf ahashta muta amre shmami nakave shamai sfirlu shema yiru atalmida biyikvu alacha ledoros. The problem here is that he specifically went from a standing to a leaning position. So in other words, if the students are watching what's going on, they might think that he did that purposely because we actually paskin like Beishamai. Meaning, you're right, Beisola concedes that if you say shema while lying on your side, if you were in that position the whole time, then you're yotze. But to go out of your way from standing up to lying on your side, then all the students are going to believe that we're really following Beis Shammai, which is obviously not true. Therefore, he had to go out of his way to, you know, in other words, to say specifically that we don't follow Beis Shammai. Tani Rav Yecheskel, asa kedivrei Beis Shammai asa, kedivrei Beis Hillel asa. According to Rav Yecheskel, you can do whatever you want. You want to say Shema like Beis Shammai, you want to say Shema like Beis Hillel, either way is fine. However, Rav Yosef Amar, asa kedivrei Beis Shammai, lo asa v'lo klum. If you follow Beis Shammai, you're not Yotze at all. Now we'll see in a second what the chiddush of this is. We'll see in 1 second. Tisnan, Misha Yerosho Verubo Besukah, Vishulchanu Besokha Bayis. This is the famous Mishnah in Mesechet Sukkah. The Mishnah says, let's say your Sukkah is only large enough for your head and the majority of your body and a table to, to be in the Sukkah, whereas your table is inside of the house. Beis Shammai Poslin, Uvesilah Machshirin. Right? So that's Machlukas, what the status of that Sukkah is. So Amru Lehem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, Maisa Shah. So one time, the elders of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranis. They found that his sukkah was exactly like this case that we just mentioned, where his head and the majority of his body fit in the sukkah, but his table exceeded. You know, in other words, his table went into the house. And the Gemara says, right, that these elders didn't say anything to him, implying that the sukkah is actually a kosher sukkah. So Amar Lahem. So the Ziknei Beis Shammai responded, Misham Raya, that's a proof. They said, no, it's not true. The Ziknei Beis Shammai did respond to him, and they said, if this is the type of sukkah in which you've been sitting, then you've never been Yotze the mitzvah of sukkah your entire life. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Asa Kedivrei Beis Shammai Chayev Misa. Disnan, Amar Rabbi Tarfon, Ani Hayisi Baba Derech, Vihitesi Likros Kedivrei Beis Shammai, Visakanti Ba'atmi Bnei Halistim, Amrulo Kedai Hayisa Lacho Ba'atmacha She'avarta Al Divrei Beis. So that was the last line from the Mishnah, right? In other words, that last line of the Mishnah said that Rabbi Tarfon went out of his way to follow Beis Shammai, and he was almost killed for it, because again, he says, and the Gemara says basically that you're Chayev Misa for going out of your way to try and follow Beis Shammai. So Tosfos has an interesting question here on the opinion of Rav Yosef, where Rav Yosef said that if I follow Beis Shammai, he said, lo asa v'lo klum, that what you've done is meaningless. Tosfos asks, of course it's meaningless. We don't paskin like Beis Shammai. What's the chiddush of saying that if I follow Beis Shammai, then I'm not Yotze? So Tosfos says, alluding to something that we spoke about before, that maybe Beis Hillel himself technically agrees with Beis Shammai that you would be Yotze if you're leaning on your side. But then Tosfos also has another problem here, which is, what's the nature of the comparison in the Gemara between reciting Shema like Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel versus the case of the Sukkah? Right, because he says the problem is that in the case of Shema, Beis Hillel agrees to Beis Shammai that you would be Yotze if you recite Shema while on your side, as long as you weren't, you know, standing and then went on your side afterwards. In the case of the Sukkah, Beis Shammai thinks that the Sukkah that Beis Hillel believes is kosher is totally pasul. So how could you say that, in other words, how could the Gemara draw a comparison to say that the case of Sukkah is like the case of Shema? So Tosfos has an interesting point here. Tosfos says that it could be that when the Ziknei Beis Shammai told Rabbi Yochanan ben Hachoranis that you were never Yotze the mitzvah of Sukkah, they just meant midrabanan. In other words, that this soul of Sukkah, according to Beis Shammai, was only a gezerah derabanan because they were afraid that maybe his body was going to, you know, go after the table and, you know, not be in the Sukkah anymore. So since it's only a derabanan, one could have argued that maybe I'm still Yotze the mitzvah midoraisa. The chiddush is, says Tosfos, that even when something is pasul midrabanan, you're not Yotze at all. And this is actually a discussion back in the first mission of the Masechta, regarding, let's say, because we know that we technically follow Rabban Gamliel, that you could say Shema all the way until Alos HaShachar, but the Chachamim created a siyag that you should say by Chatzos. So the Achorim have this discussion: what if a person said Shema b'di'evet after Chatzos? Would you be Yotze at all? According to many Achronim, you're not Yotze Shema at all, even midoraisa, because when you violate a din de Rabbanan, since the Rabbanan built into the system a certain way, you don't even fulfill the mitzvah on a level of deoraisa. So that's kind of alluded to here also by Tosfos.
Okay. The Sukkah may have been good, only the Achila was bad.
The Achila, or maybe because there, no, again, Tosos assumes that it's an issue of Gzira Drabana, that his body was going to get dragged after the table and then he was going to, you know, somehow end up outside of the sukkah. Okay, the next Mishnah says, B'shachar mevarich shtayim lefaneha v'yachas li'achareha, uva'erev mevarich shtayim lefaneha u'shtayim li'achareha. So we know, of course, that by Shachris, we say two brachos before Shema and one bracha after, and by Marav, we do two and two. Achas aruka v'yachas k'tzara. One is a longer bracha, and one is a shorter bracha. And again, we'll see, that again, that's a reference to Marav. Emes ve'emuna is the longer bracha, and hashkivinu is the shorter bracha. Makom sha'amru l'harech inu rashay l'katzer, l'katzer inu rashay l'harech, l'achtom inu rashay shalo l'achtom, shalo l'achtom inner Rosh Hashanah. Basically, the Mishnah says that you have to follow whatever structure the Chazal set up in the bracha. If Chazal told you to say a long bracha, don't make it short, and vice versa. If told you to end the bracha with Baruch Atah Hashem, then make sure you do that and don't flip the order. So the Gemara now wants to know, Mayim Mavarich, what are these two brachos that we say before Shema in the morning? Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Oshia, Yotzer Oru Vorei Chosha. So that's bracha number one. So asks the Gemara, Lema Yotzer Oru Vorei Noga. Why do we say the word noga? The word noga just means like brightness. In other words, why are we saying choshech, which has a negative connotation? Why not say something positive? The Gemara says, no, kidechsev ka'aminan, because we want to write, because we want to use the expression that's written in the pasuk in Sefer Yeshayahu. So the Gemara says, okay, el mayata, if that's true, oseh shalom uvorei rami ka'aminan kidechsev, the pasuk in Yeshayahu doesn't actually say yotzer or uvorei choshech, it actually says yotzer or uvorei ra. So why don't we say that? If you're so concerned about saying what's written in the pasuk, so why not say Yotzer Oru Vorei Ra? So the Gemara says it must be Elok Sivra V'Karinan Hakol Lishnam Alia Hachanami Lema Noga Lishnam Alia. The reason why we change Ra to Choshech is because Choshech is not as as bad of a sounding word as Ra. So then why not make it sound even better? Just change it to Noga, right? Noga is even more positive. It means light. It means brightness. Why not change it to that? So the Gemara says no. Ela Amar Rava Kedei Lahazkir Midas Yom Balayla Umidas Laila Bayom, because there's a halacha that you need to mention night by day and day by night. There has to be an allusion to the other part of the day in whatever tefillah you're saying right now. So the Gemara explains. Bishlam amidas laila biyom kede amrinan yotzer oru vorechoshech. So at Shachris, we mention the night by saying vorechoshech. El amidas yom balaila hichi mishkakas. So when do we mention the day at Mariv? So Amar Abaye, we say gulel or mibnei choshech vachoshech mibnei or. That's where we allude to the day, even at Mariv. V'idach mahi, what's the second bracha that we say before Shema in the morning? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Abba Rabba. V'chein ori li Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Pidas, Berei, Abba Rabba, Tanya Nami Hachi, Ein Omer Mavasolam, Ella Ava Rabba, Rabbanan Amre, Avasolam, V'cheinu Omer V'Avasolam, Ahavticha, Ken Meshachticha. So there, again, there also practically, there's different girsos, different nuschos, between Sfarim and Ashkenazim about this, whether you say Ava Rabba or Avasolam. So again, that's this machlokas in the Gemara, what the proper text of the bracha should be. Okay, Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Hishkim Lishanos. But let's say a person gets up in the morning because he wants to learn Torah. So Ad Shelo Kara Kriya Shema Tzarech Levarich. If he has not yet recited Shema, meaning he hasn't daven yet, so then he needs to recite the bracha before he wants to learn. Mishakara Kriya Shema in Tzarech Levarich. Yeah, exactly. Berachas HaTorah. But once he's already said Shema, then he no longer needs to say Berachas HaTorah. Why not? Because Shekvar Niftar Ba'Ava Rabba, the bracha of Ava Rabba Bidyeved, acts as a form, like almost like a backup form of Berachas HaTorah. And we'll see why in a second. Amar Rav Huna, Lemikra Tzarech Levarich, Ulemedrish Ein Tzarech Levarich. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Lemikra Ulemedrish Tzarech Levarich, Lemishna Ein Tzarech Levarich. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Af Lemishna Nami Tzarech Levarich, Avol Talmud Ein Tzarech Levarich. The Rava Amar Af Talmud Tzarech Levarich. So basically, there's four different opinions here about what type of Torah learning requires a Berachas HaTorah. So some say just Tanakh. Some say, Tanakh and also, Midrashim, whether that's Midrashay Halakha, Midrashay Agada. Some say also Mishnayos, and some say also Gemara. And the Gemara supports that last position, that even Gemara requires a Berachas HaTorah. To Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Zimnin Sagiyan Hava Ka'imna Kameh Derav, L'Sanuye Pirkin B'Sifra Devei Rav, Hava Makdim B'Kamasha Yadei, Uvarech U'Masin Lo Pirkin. That when Rav used to give a shir in the morning on the Sifra Devei Rav, now, even though the Sifra is usually an allusion to Medrash Halacha. It's an allusion to, the halachas from Torah's Kohanim and Sefer Vayikra. So before he would teach these Medrash Halacha, which is very, similar to Gemara, he would get up, he would wash his hands, and he would recite a Berachas HaTorah, and only then would he teach. So the Gemara says, you see from this insight that even learning Gemara requires a Berachas HaTorah. So my Mivarek, what exactly is the text of Berachas HaTorah? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Asher Kedishana B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu La'asok B'divrei Torah. We know that Sfardim say Al Divrei Torah. There's, again, different gears. So a lot of times when the Gemara quotes brachos, there's a lot of slight variations and nuances to the text that we actually say, and there are variations between Sfarim and Ashkenazim oftentimes. Rabbi Yochanan Messiah Bahachin. Rabbi Yochanan will conclude as follows: Harivna Hashem Elokeinu as Divrei Sorascha Befinu Befifio Sam Chabis Yisrael Vini Anachnu Vetzatzoeinu Vetzatzoeam Chabis Yisrael Kulanu Yodei Shemecha. And again, we change the gears to Velom Day, but Oske Sorasecha, which means people who are engaged in learning as opposed to just learning Torah. Baruch Ato Hashem Hamalamei Torah Yamo Yisrael. Rav Hamnuna Amar Sherbachar Bani Mikolo Amim Venasan Lano as Torah. So, Baruch Atah Hashem Nosein HaTorah, and Amar Rav Hamnuna, Zohi Me'ula Sheba Brachos. Rav Huna commented that the bracha of Asher Bachar Banu is the best bracha. It's the greatest bracha out there. Why that is, so the Rishonim discussed why... good question. The Rishonim discuss why that's considered the best bracha, but the Gemara says Hilkach Limrin Luchu. As a result, we just say all these brachas together. Just one kind of side point here about the bracha of Aharev. Now, there's a famous a comment that the Eglei Tal, the Sacha Chavarebi, in his Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, writes in his introduction that the reason why we say the bracha of Aharevna, it's supposed to reflect the fact that Torah is supposed to be sweet. It's not supposed to be a chore. It's not supposed to be something difficult. It's supposed to be enjoyable. It says that's exactly what the bracha of Aharevna means. And the Levush actually writes, he compares Birchas HaTorah to a Birchas HaNenin. It's supposed to give you pleasure. It's supposed to give you enjoyment when you're learning Torah. Okay, so the Gemara now continues. Tanan Hasam, so Mishnah, what was that? Yeah, exactly. Okay, so the Mishnah in Maseches Tamid says, Amar Lohem HaMemuneh. So this again was the guy who was in charge of the Kohanim. He would say as follows, Baruch Hu Bracha Achas. So he would tell the Kohanim, recite.
Kohen Gadol.
What? Yeah, in other words, yeah. He was appointed over the, he was basically overseeing the Kohanim. So he would say, recite one Bracha, Vehim Baruch Hu, and then they would recite that Bracha again. We'll see in a second what that Bracha is. The Karu Aseres HaDibros, Shema V'Hayom Shemoa V'Hayomer. So then they would say, the Aseres HaDibros and Shema. U Baruch Hu Esa'am Gimel Brachos, Ames V'Yatzev Avoda Birkas Kohanim. And they would bless the people with these three Brachos of Emes V'Yatzev, the Bracha of Avoda, of Ritzei, and Birkas Kohanim. Uve Shabbos Mosifin Bracha Achas the Mishmar Hayotze. So this is again a discussion in Maseches Tamid. On Shabbos they would give a bracha to the outgoing Mishmar, and in other words, the incoming Mishmar for the following week would give a bracha to the outgoing Mishmar. So the Gemara asks, my Bracha Achas, what was this initial bracha that the Kohanim said? Kihod Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yossi Baraba, Iklu Lahahu Asra. They went to this town. Bo Minayu, my Bracha Achas. They wanted to know, what does the Mishnah in Tamid mean? What bracha are we referring to? So Lo Havu Bidai. No one in the town knew which bracha it was. Vasu Shailu Rav Masna. Also Lo Havu Bidai. Rav Masna also didn't know what bracha it was. Asu Shailu Rav Yehuda Amar Lehu Hachi Amar Shmuel Avaraba. That's the bracha of Avaraba. The first thing the Kohanim would say was the bracha of Avaraba. V'amar Rabbi Yisrika, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Yotzor. He says no, it's not the bracha of Avaraba, but rather it's the bracha of Yotzor. Ki asa Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar Hadu Rabbi Yisrika Lav Beferush Itmar Ela Michlala Itmar. The statement of Rabbi Yisrika was not stated explicitly, but rather it was derived from an inference. What was the inference? The Amar Rabbi Yisrika, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Zoso Meres Brachos in Ma'akvo Zoezo. You see from this Mishnah in Tamid that these two brachos of Avaraba and Yotzor are not ma'akiv one another. Meaning, if you just say one without the other, you still fulfill that one bracha. So the Gemara explains. Iyamar pishlama yotzor avu amre hainu de brachos in ma'akva zoezo deloka amri avarava. If you're going to tell me that the bracha that the Kohanim said is yotzor or, so yotzor or comes before avarava. So I understand how you could say if I said yotzor or, so even if I didn't say avarava, I'm still yotzei bidiyav, but I'm still yotzei the bracha of yotzor or. But elo iyamar avarava havu amre my brachos in ma'akva zoezo. But if the bracha the Kohanim are saying is avarava, that means that they by definition already said yotzor or, because avarava comes after Yotzer Or. So what does the Mishnah mean? The brachos are not ma'ake. In other words, the Kohanim already said the bracha of Yotzer Or beforehand. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. Dilma hai delo amre Yotzer Or, mishum delo matas man Yotzer Or. V'chi matas man Yotzer Or havu amre. It could very well be that because the Kohanim were davening, were saying these brachos early in the morning, because they had to bring karbonos at Anitzachama, so they were saying all these things, it could have been an hour or two beforehand. So maybe it's too early to say the bracha of Yotzer Or, because Yotzer Or means
light. That's part of the avoda. How do you do it at night?
What
if
do you mean?
Did it before the
what do you mean
if
you, we're talking about the morning right now.
I know, but this is if they did it in the morning, then
yeah.
It was okay.
What do you mean, what's okay? The bracha of Yotzer Or?
Yeah, what's...
No, because again, they're well, that's part of the Gemara's issue. In other words, again, we had a machlokes on the bottom of Amvis here about what that bracha was that they were reciting. So if the bracha was Avaraba, so Avaraba is not a bracha that's tied into a time of day or night. So it's not a big deal to say Avaraba even if it's an hour or two before sunrise. But to say Yotzer Or, right, before sunrise doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara is bothered. So the Gemara says, maybe the reason why the bracha was Avaraba, but they still haven't said Yotzer Or yet, is because it's too early to say Yotzer Or. But the Gemara says, they'll say Yotzer Or in an hour from now.
What about Kedei Laskin, maybe that's Yom Halayla, maybe that's Laila by Yom?
Yeah, so in other words, that's what the Gemara says. They can still say Yotzer Or afterwards, after sunrise, after the Avodah is done. Right? That would still... Well, yeah, correct. In other words, that would still fulfill the requirement of mentioning Laila by Yom. Something like that, yeah. So in other words, again, so the Gemara says maybe I can construct a scenario where you're saying it, in other words, where you're saying Yotzer Or by, in other words, after the karbanos were already offered. So the Gemara says, V'im yichlal amai. So the Gemara says, well, hang on a second. You told me that this was just an inference of Rabbi Zrika, that this whole idea, right, that Rabbi Zrika developed that we're talking about Ava Rabba was an inference. This Gemara is not an inference. This Gemara says explicitly that we're talking about Ava Rabba, because if it's Yotzer Or, we had this whole problem of not saying it before the daytime. The Gemara says, no. The imichlala liolam Ava Rabba havelamre. So in other words, if this was merely an inference, so I could have said as follows, that really, the Kohanim said Ava Rabba, v'chimat azman Yotzer Or havelamre le, and when the time for Yotzer Or rolled around, they also said Yotzer Or, my brachos in ma'agos ozo seder brachos. When the Mishnah in Tumit said that the two brachos of Ava Rabba and Yotzer Or don't are not ma'akiv each other, that I could say one without the other, that meant the order of the brachos. In other words, you don't need to be so machbe to say Yotzer Or first and then Ava Rabba, because one could have thought that maybe the order matters. The answer is no, because I could still say Yotzer Or 2 hours later after sunrise. Okay,
well, yeah. Right, so we'll see you a week.